Matthew chapter 6, 5 to 14. And when you pray, do not be like hypocrites, for they like to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corner to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts. And we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Thank you.
I'm not sure what version of the Lord's Prayer might be in many people's heads here. I know I've got a version. It's the one I can't seem to shake. It's the one I think I learnt when I was very, very young, when I was first, I wouldn't say dragged, I was just carried, prammed in to the first Anglican church, Church of England it was then, that it would have been part of. And the Lord's Prayer then was just the regular part of the order of service in the Australian hymn book. And as I went through the early stages of faith and was confirmed at 14 before crashing and burning in faith and just leaving, thinking, what a waste of time, I'll never go back again. And so I'm still amazed that it's the earlier version of the Lord's Prayer that comes so quickly to my mind. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I seem to have all the thys still in place. And so when I hear the other versions, it's always a little, you know, just have to take a little bit of a breath and get over myself, because I love the newer versions. And thank you, Sam, for taking the time for unfolding part of that today and for the one that's been handed out. If you haven't learnt the Lord's Prayer before, I'd suggest make sure you take one of these, take a photo, stick it in your phone, grab it out frequently, put it in your wallet, in your purse, in your back pocket of your pants. When you're having a coffee somewhere, take it out and just begin to learn it really off by heart. It is such a powerful prayer, not so much because of the words, because the words can change. And you can learn this prayer in Farsi, in Mandarin, Indonesian, Bahasa Malaysian. It doesn't matter what the language is. It's the intention of the prayer that is most unique and particular. It actually begins to walk you through different phases of understanding with a pretty sort of almost a global kind of view of how God can be engaged, the nature of God's relationship with you, rather than just one small part. It's a very holistic prayer. It's an interesting prayer too, because in Scripture there's only two areas that name it, in the reading we've had today from Matthew's Gospel, and then in Luke's Gospel in chapter 11, there's a version of the Lord's Prayer there too. A little bit shorter, just a little bit is left out of it. And I think some people worry sometimes, but you know, what is the real version? Well, if you've ever had a good story that you retell, you're probably aware that you retell it slightly differently every time. Is that sort of how it goes? I'm not sure why we'd imagine that Jesus only had, like, I'm going to tell you the Lord's Prayer once and that's it. I think it was a repeated kind of understanding of the pattern of how to pray. And Matthew has a particular reason for why it's recorded and remembered in the Sermon on the Mount in this way. And Luke has a particular reason for why it comes up in chapter 11 after the disciples have come back from being out on the road and visiting houses. There's something very powerful about Luke's version as well. And then for many of us, we might not even be aware that we've often been taught the added-on version, because in both Matthew and in Luke, there is none of that last section that says, for the kingdom, power and the glory are yours forever and ever. Amen. In those two Bible versions, that section is not there. That became added on later. For those of you who are part of the King James Version generation, you'll get the last bit because it was added on as a doxology at some time in the church's journey, in the first couple of centuries, and there's nothing negative or strange around that. You can imagine yourself, if you're sitting in church with groups of believers around you, and the last part of the prayer is, deliver us from evil. It's not kind of an up way to finish, is it really? And so I think what happened was, in my simple understanding, good people of faith realised that it'd be good to have a doxology prayer that ends firmly with Amen, let it be so, let this happen, let this be the way of the world, let your kingdom come, because it closes the prayer off and makes it kind of seamless from start to finish. So I think King James actually reflects a later kind of version of the prayer that went around, added on to by a book called the Didache and maybe some others. So I said there's nothing terrible about that. This is what Christians do from generation to generation. Now, we continue to learn and we continue to kind of add, not strange, weird or wild things, but things that actually build up the sense of faith. And I think that's what's happened with some of the version, certainly the version I inherited, because I always go through to the, you know, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. You know, I end up with an amen. How many other people end up with the version with the amen at the end? Yep, so I'm with good friends. So just know that's great, but it's not in the original versions in Scripture, and that's why you might see some differences when you're trying to go back and think, I wonder why that bit's not there. But in the end, it actually doesn't matter. What does matter is the style of the prayer and where that prayer takes you. When I was that little kid in the Anglican Church, I don't know what it was, but we tried to get through those services pretty fast. How do I know that? Because the words were... And as soon as you got to the Our Father, it was a pretty quick walk to the end. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed. And sometimes it could be sung, depending on the priest and whether it was high church or low church. But it was pretty much a relatively quick walk to go through how the order of service would be. Is that right? Yeah. And sometimes that prayer suffered because it was just the learnt and the rote. And we went over it. And you had a catechism, you were taught how to say it, you understood what it was, but it was just the regular routine, which is kind of ironic, because in the Sermon on the Mount, what Jesus is really keen not to see is prayer that just becomes the routine. He notices two things in the wider culture, and this is still true in the 21st century. Most people pray. It's actually part of how we're built. It's part of our creation, whether we realise it or not. People don't always pray to God. They can pray to a lot of other things. What are some of the other things that people pray to? Sorry? Pray to idols. Some people pray to the sun. They pray to the moon. They pray to the stars. They may not call it prayer, but they can spend all their time, you know, focusing on other things. I'm pretty sure that, you know, there's been a few grand finals when people are praying for rabbit's foot and for good luck and for can the umpires just see things straight, whatever it is, there's a capacity in human beings that wants to kind of connect with something larger. The danger is that we do that sometimes through our brokenness and through our need, and so we end up sacrificing virgins, we end up going on long pilgrimages to nowhere. We end up spending huge amounts of time going without food or going without water or sitting in a dark cave, just hoping somehow that God or the gods will notice us. And that's really what Jesus is talking about. On the first hand, he says, look, the faith that we've inherited around the temple in Jerusalem and all of those who hold that faith high, don't pray like this. Don't get out on the street making your prayer like, look at me, how amazing I am. I've got these great words. God is really paying attention. Jesus says, I don't want you to pray like that, which always feels a bit strange when we pray in church, and I've prayed this morning and Sam's prayed this morning. But that's a bit different than, no, you're trying to make something of how special you are as a faithful person by using prayer as the way to be noticed. with the special clothing and the long tassels and all the paraphernalia that says, look at me, I'm a really faithful person. You should listen. Jesus says, I don't want any of that caper. And I don't want you to be like the pagans either. I don't want you to be like the people who are out, you know, they think a million words are going to be needed to somehow, you know, get God's attention. And you've probably been in places where maybe it's not so pagan, but where the same thing is true. People who are in some cultures, they'll cut themselves, they'll whip themselves, they'll walk and walk and walk in a huge frenzy, calling out a million thousand words to their idols and to all the forms of gods just to get the crops, just to get a child, just to get the floods to stop, just to get whatever it is. That's how we're kind of wired. Jesus says, I don't want you to do that either. If you really want to know who you are as a person of faith, and really want to know the closeness of God, let's just see how you are when you're on your own. What's your life in the spirit like when you're in your room? When you're in your house? When it's all quiet and there's no crowd to jump up in front of and there's no temple to cut yourself in or bring your sacrifices to? It's just the quietness of your room. Let's see what your prayer is like then. Does your prayer flow? Is it mindful? And then Jesus says in the Matthew version of this, so here's a form that you can use. A form of prayer that's not pagan, that's not showy, that's not trying to prove something. A form of prayer that dwells in the heart and the spirit and elevates. And it starts with, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The thing about this prayer, and it took me a while to realise it, it's a great prayer for walking. When I was a boy, it was a prayer for speed, to get through a church service. But it's a prayer for walking. I don't know, you can take it out for a walk yourself one day. You know, you're walking down to the letterbox. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. You know, you can begin to pace your way through. And then what happens when you start to walk? What happens to your mind when you walk? Am I the only person that has this? Your mind kind of begins to think of other things. It actually begins to open little doors and understandings that may not have been there before. It puts new things together when you walk. A lot of people during the lockdown said, that's what I found when I was doing all those 5K walks within my radius. It's like I began to think about things in a new way. So to take that pace, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. What is hallowed? Any ideas? We're not going to do the whole of the prayer today. We've got 7 weeks to make our way through it. What's hallowed? Sorry? Holy. Any other words? So when you think about something that's hallowed, it's holy, what other words would you use for that? Blessed, glorious, sorry, in awe. I'm sure if you were walking it out and you got to the letterbox and just paused and looked up and down the street thinking about Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. How holy, how blessed. How significant, how incredible. And then you hear, you know, a wattle bird across the road or a magpie in the backyard, and maybe your mind will start to consider the whole of creation that's around you. You might begin to realise how little and tiny all your concerns are, and yet how great and incredible the Lord is. He was here before you ever were. Ancestors before you probably prayed with you in mind, not knowing your name. When you begin to stretch out the hallowed, blessed holiness of God, other things begin to enter in. And that's where Jesus starts. Right? Matthew's gospel, don't find the million words. You don't have to yell in the street. Don't have to make a big spectacle. In your room, begin to recount how holy is the name of God. My goodness, We can start doing works of art and writing poems and writing all sorts of worship songs and deciding to write letters and cards to people maybe that God is already starting to stir up, just in that idea alone. So I want to encourage you to relearn the prayer if you haven't before, or if you've lost connection with it, or take the version from today and make that a goal. I'm going to learn this version. Maybe it's the only one I've had. I'll learn this and then begin to take it for a walk. It's a really handy prayer when you're having coffee in shopping town to think, looking at the crowds walking past, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." So my table becomes a place of holiness. I'm already letting God enter in to the simple thing of having a cup of coffee or tea and a cake with a friend or just on my own. Because wherever I am, the Father, Son and the Holy Spirit are there also. And so it begins to change where we are. I just wanted to finish with one of the powerful ways this prayer has also worked. There's a friend of mine whose husband died when he was quite young, had a pretty aggressive cancer, and I still remember the very last day of his life. I had been called in to the palliative care. He was obviously really unwell. There was a lot of concern from his wife about, I'm not sure where his faith is. He doesn't go to church. He used to once when he was little, but I really don't know. I mean, she loved him dearly, but she, you know, that question you have sometimes, but does the person I love have faith? And I don't know what that means. Will they be okay? That was really their concern. So I'd asked him if he'd like me to pray with him, and he nodded, which is a big thing. If anybody says, "Yes, I'd like you to pray for me," that's already telling you there's something that's open in their life. It's not closed. Closed people say, "On your bike, don't bother me. You know, God bother on your own time." But no, he just nodded, "Yes, it's okay for you to pray with me." And I always like to get permission, if possible. So I knelt down beside him and started with, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name." And I could see he began to form the words as well. Despite the huge nature of his illness, the overwhelming degree of medications that he was on, he began to find his way into the pattern of those words. And then we finally got to the Amen. Amen. And by the end of the day, he was gone. Every time his widow says to me, "Can you retell the story of the day?" Because what the retelling of the story does is it actually rebuilds the understanding of hope that he is still a son of the living God. And every time I've shared that prayer with other people or had the privilege of sitting with others, it happened recently, and I won't embarrass folks, but was sitting at a table and someone began just to recite it because they remembered it from their childhood years. And on the little table around tea and coffee, we just began to repeat the Lord's Prayer with each other. It is an anchoring prayer. Over the next 7 weeks, we'll find our way into the other sections of it. But for this week, just sit with hallowed. The holiness of God. The holiness of God is here this morning. The holiness of God is already in you and with you. Take it for a walk. Be still in your room, at home. Let Netflix be silent and let the wonder of the Lord begin to percolate and bubble to the very surface of your life. And then we'll see what this pattern of prayer actually brings to all of us who dwell within it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I really thank you that you took time to encourage people beyond the prayers of the day to discover a different rhythm and a different way for what the wholeness of prayer actually means. We thank you, Lord, that you call us to be mindful of you. We thank you, Lord, that you are still speaking. We thank you that you still inhabit this prayer and that you meet us within the rooms of it. I pray, Lord, that you would bless us today and those that have been in our minds. In Jesus' name, Amen.